Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about spiritual gifts tonight. And even though Charles covered a lot of it last week, thank the Lord, or the week before, tonight is prophecy and discerning of spirits. So that's prophecy and discerning of spirits. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And listen, anything that the Lord wants us to have, I want to have. Anything the Lord wants to give us, then as Christians we should want to have them things. And I know this, when there's no move of the Spirit, the church will die. Because as our brother Michael come and preached last week, Jesus is the head, but the Holy Spirit's been left in charge. And the Holy Spirit wants to give gifts to his children, for those who belong to him. The gifts that they can then use to build up the church and further his work and to serve him. And it's like this. Jesus, when he was on the earth, he had a ministry. Jesus had a ministry. He went around and what did he do? He preached, didn't he? He preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. The Bible says that when men were speaking, he knew what was in their hearts. He knew what was behind their discernment. Jesus had spiritual gifts. Jesus used the spiritual gifts. He used the discernment of the Spirit. He used all these things. And then when Jesus ascended into heaven, after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven, then the Bible says that he gave gifts unto men, to his church. And that we are his spiritual body, body of Christ, the church. We're Christ's spiritual body. We're called the body of believers. Jesus is the head, we're the body. So the ministry of Christ continues upon the earth through us. Christ's spiritual body. Do you understand that? Can we see the picture there? Christ. So therefore, he's given us gifts to fulfill the ministry on the earth, to preach the gospel, to save souls. So we're going to be looking tonight at the first one is prophecy. Let's just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. It says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So we're going through a list of things there. Tonight we're going to be covering two of them things. So let's just pray. And what a prayer should be is, look, Lord, not only do I want to understand what the Word says about these things, but I want the opportunity and the boldness and the understanding and the unlife to practice these things. Amen? Lord, we want these gifts. And Lord, not only do we want the church to have them, I'm part of the church, I want to have them. Let's pray for ourselves. Pray for me tonight, the Lord will speak for me. And let's pray for ourselves that God would use us in these things. Lord, we do praise you and glorify your wonderful name. We pray, Lord, you pour out your Spirit, Lord, here in this place. You bless. The Lord, you give us understanding of your word, that the learning would be for living. And the Lord, we would practice these things, my God. We would have the boldness and the understanding and the wisdom and the grace and the power of the Spirit to practice all the gifts that you've decided and want us to have, my Lord. We pray, Lord, these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says, some word of miracles, and to another, prophecy. Now that word there, prophecy, I know Charles covered a lot of it the other week when he preached about tongues and prophesying, that type of thing. But the word prophecy means to proclaim, to make something known. In the translation, it means to speak divine words. So when someone prophesies, they're speaking on behalf of man. And I'll tell you how it is. If in the Old Testament you had the priests, and the people, the priests would deal with the people would come to the priests, and the priests would pray to God on behalf of the people. The high priest would enter into the holies of holies once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people, and they represented the people towards God. They prayed for the people, for Israel, to God. They represented the people of God. They interceded for the people towards the Lord. And they taught the word. But the prophecy, or someone, let's say a prophet, someone has the ministry gift of a prophet, that was God spoke to that man, and then that man spoke to the people, which is the other way around. They interceded to the people on behalf of the Lord. They interceded to the people on behalf of the Lord. So that word to prophesy means to proclaim, to make something known, or to speak the divine words of God. Now that could be a few different things. That divine word that comes from God to man, to a person, and we're going to see it could be for a brother or a sister, and it could be to the people or to a person or to a situation. That could be something, prophecy, we always think it's got to be something in the future. But Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament. And Elijah never said anything future at all. But yet he was a prophet. Elijah was a prophet, he never said anything future at all. So, whether by revelation of future events or by the word of encouragement to God's people, or to God's or that person, God speaking for that person to the people about a situation or a church or a body or a believer, or whether it be in the Old Testament or the New, the Bible says that when someone speaks in tongues, they speak to God, but when someone prophesies, they speak to the people. So the gift of prophecy is from God to that person, to the believers. Amen? You understand that? And this is a gift of prophecy. Now, we have God's word. A lot of people believe, I know Michael mentioned the other week, and I think Charles mentioned as well, that because we have the word, we don't need God to speak to us anymore. But the gifts was given to the church, and the church is here, going to be on the earth until the rapture comes. So all the time the church is here, the gifts are still to be used. Amen? They're not done away with. So the church is still upon the earth until the rapture comes, so we're taken out of here. And until that time, we are fulfilling the mission and the ministry of Christ upon this earth. So therefore, we have gifts. Now, when we read the Bible, we realise immediately that the gift of prophecy is not just for the New Testament. But the gift of prophecy has been exercised all throughout the Bible. So this is not a new thing. In the Old Testament and the New, people prophesied, and there was prophets, and there was even false prophets. So the Bible speaks about false prophets, so we're going to look at that as well. So prophecy is men speaking forth the word of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll read a few scriptures here. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So no prophecies doesn't come from man. It comes from God to that man, and they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Ghost was involved in giving them people knowledge about something, or a proclamation about something, or a situation, or even something in the future, something that wasn't of them, that they probably couldn't know or didn't understand. And God said, "Listen, I want you to tell them people, or tell that person, or tell that church, or tell them that king, or tell them Israel, or whoever they was, I want you to tell them this." Imagine the boldness it would have took to speak them things, especially if there was things that hadn't happened yet, or hadn't come to be. Now, in Micah chapter 5, it says this, it says, "But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." So this is a prophecy in Micah, hundreds of years before Jesus actually came, and it's about Jesus. It's saying where Jesus would be born. So there was a prophecy saying that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. We know the story. You've seen the Christmas plays, and you've read the Bible, the Gospels, and they said, and the wise men come, they said, "We know he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Where is the king?" They come there and ask him, didn't they? "Where's the king of the Jews?" Because they knew these things. They knew this was a prophecy, that this was something that was proclaimed by Micah about the future. So we see that prophecy isn't something new in the Bible. It's not just something in the New Testament. It ain't just something for today. But God has always spoken to his people through prophecy, whether it be something future, like the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, or just a message for the people of that day, or for that circumstance of their life. God uses prophecy to speak to his people. And we might say, why don't we see a lot of this today? But I think one thing is that we don't quite understand how it works, the spiritual gifts, so we're a bit wary of things like that. And therefore, because we're not open to it, we won't be used. But probably as well, if it did get used, and someone did speak, and it was something concerning about a situation, or something in the future, or even just something for that moment, we wouldn't understand what it was anyway. We'd wonder to ourselves what it was. We need to understand that God does speak in this way, and that he wants to speak in this way. So therefore, he wants to use me and you. Now, that was a prophecy about something in the future. But in Jeremiah 21, and verse 8 to 10, it says, now you shall say to the people, thus says the Lord. This is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. And God told him, you say to the people, and say to them, this is what God's got to say to us. Thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who remains in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, by pestilence. But he who goes out and defects to the Chaldeans who besiege you shall live, and his life shall be a prize to him. For I have set my face against this city for adversity and not for good, says the Lord. And it shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall burn it with fire. Now King Zedekiah, yeah, comes and says, listen, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, and we're going to get smashed to the ground. Go and ask Jeremiah the prophet and say to him, what's going to become of us? Because whatever he says is going to happen, that's what's going to happen, because God speaks for this man. They accepted that. And Jeremiah comes back and says, thus says the Lord, if you fight against these people when they come to you, this is a judgment from God. And if you fight against them, the complete city is going to be smashed to the ground. But if you go out and surrender to them, the city will be left alone. And you'll live. And not everyone, loads of people will be saved, and loads of people won't lose their life. King Zedekiah sent to ask Jeremiah to ask God what would happen to them in the battle, and God gave his answer. Now, that wasn't something future. Well, it was just about to happen in like that day. But it was something about that situation that they were going through at that time. So we can see it could be something future. It could be something about the situation at the time. It might be concerning me, especially the Old Testament. God spoke about this as part of a judgment. But what he was saying was, it should be burnt with fire, but your life should be as a prize to you, that many lives will be saved. The Bible is a book of prophecy. Now, this is only something that I've learned, as in the statistics, but come from a very good source. A few different men who I listen to and read all the time, they said the same thing. The Bible is a book of prophecy. So it says, over one in every four verses of the Bible is concerning prophecy. So there's a famous Bible-like historian and teacher, a man called Alfred Edersheim, who's a Jewish teacher on Jewish times and history and the Bible, that sort of thing. And he said that he found over 456 Old Testament verses referring to Jesus, the Messiah, and his kingdom. And it's believed that Jesus fulfilled at least 300 of them when he came to the earth. And he walked the earth. The Bible is a book of prophecy. People say, this ain't for now. But yet, when the Bible spoke about Israel becoming a nation in one day, that happened in 1946, wasn't it? 48. He said, who has made a nation in one day but me? Israel become a nation again in one day. That was a prophecy to be fulfilled. The Bible says that yet there is still prophecies yet to be fulfilled concerning Israel and the end times and the Antichrist and God's plan for Israel and the salvation of the remnant of Israel. So prophecy is still at play. It's not something that is finished, it is over. And what we've got to remember is that we have God's word, and everything that Christianity is and is not is between the covers of that Bible. You want to know God's will for your life, you want to know how to live and be a Christian, you want to know how to overcome, you want to know God's plan for your life, read that. But also as well, God gives place that certain times and certain circumstances within the body of Christ, even still now, God can use prophecy to speak to a person or to his people, to a church. And we have to be open to that. We have to be open to the spiritual gifts. What a shame it would be if we all learn about the spiritual gifts that we've been going through, and we go, oh, praise the Lord, that was Christian, that was interesting, we learned that, and none of us practice them. None of us use them. None of us bring to the table the things that God wants to use us in. So Jesus fulfilled 300 prophecies, just over 300 prophecies in his earthly ministry, which to me, that proves the Bible to be true and trustworthy. In fact, I think the most prophesied event in the Bible, we always think about prophecy, we think about the rapture and end times. We do at this point in history, we think about things like that because we're so close to it. And I remember when I was first saved, we heard about the rapture was preached every week. End times was preached all the time. And these things are good and we should learn about them things. But you know, after the rapture is the tribulation of the church. And then the time after the tribulation is what we call, there's a couple of things in between, the thing in between, but the short space, but the millennium reign. The millennium reign of Christ. Where Jesus comes back to the earth at the end of the tribulation. And Charles is smiling at me because I don't feel him all against. Was it sheep and goat separation between
them? No, you said tribulation of the church.
No, sorry. Sorry, not tribulation of the church. Oh, no, not that. No, we're not going to put it on. The tribulation upon the earth, the church is raptured, so then there's a 7-year tribulation that happens upon the earth. And after this time is the millennium reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where we as Christians, we return with him, we reign with him, and all those who have made it through the tribulation, then was martyred for their faith and blah, 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 blah. And it's a literal 1,000 years reign of Christ upon the earth. And we're with him. All the Christians who are born again are going to be there. And that is the most prophesied event in the Bible. Never hear it talked about, hardly, do you? But we want to know about the end times. We're not even going to be there. We're not even going to be in the tribulation. Everyone wants to know about that. But the place where we are actually going to be, what's the most prophesied thing in the Bible, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, that is yet still to come. And isn't it funny that the Bible is a book of prophecy. So when these prophecies, the Bible's proved itself to be true, because all the prophecies that it said would happen have already been fulfilled. So can we trust that the 1,000-year reign is actually going to happen? Amen. We can, can't we? Hallelujah. It's actually going to happen. So, look, we can see by Scripture that God is still speaking to his people through prophecy because he gives it, especially for us in this time, as a gift to the church. And look, in Ephesians, this talks about the ministry gifts. Now, what we call the ministry gifts and the gift of prophecy for people in the church can be two different things, and I'm going to explain. So in Ephesians, it says this, and he himself, meaning Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So me, Johnny and Charles were ministers. And the mission was accepted. I don't know if everyone else does, but the mission accepts that me, Johnny and Charles had a ministry. And we got put forward in the ministry. I believe I'm a pastor. Charles is a pastor, I believe Johnny's a teacher. Right? That's what we believe. I'd say that's fair enough, isn't it, the news?
Amen.
Yeah, Johnny's got his ear, you wouldn't say that's all. So these are ministry gifts, and the gift of the what the Bible teaches is that the person is the gift, give to the church, and the reason they've been given to the church is to encourage everybody else in their service and press everybody on, basically. Amen?
Amen.
Now this is the ministry gift of a prophet. This is the ministry gift of a prophet. And it is what we call an office within the church. Pastor, teacher, prophet, evangelist, apostle. There are five offices within the church. They're positions, named positions. They're positions with a badge. They're the leaders. The buck stops with them. They get doubly judged over everybody else on Judgment Day. The buck stops with them. They're the leaders of the church. Now, the ministry gift and the position of a prophet is unique, and it's given by Jesus to encourage the body of Christ for service. And these, what we see these roles within the church as ministry gifts, they're always male, they're never women. They're always male. That's why we don't believe in women preachers. Because Paul says, I do not allow a woman to teach or have authority over a man. And that means from here. That's not to say that women can't preach the gospel. Women can go and pray for people. They just can't lay hands. Women, the Bible says the older women teach the younger women how to be good wives, how to raise godly children, encourage them in the scriptures, all them sorts of things. The women can teach one another, but they never take up leadership roles within the church. Leadership roles are in the church. The 12 disciples was what? Yeah? The 12 disciples was men within the church, within the body of Christ. You see sisters serving the Lord. You see sisters, the first ones at the tomb. You see sisters looking after Jesus Christ and financing missionary journeys and serving and doing good and preaching the gospel and praying and doing all them things. But you never see them as apostles, teachers, prophets, pastors, evangelists. As in a ministry gift, an office. Because they're always leadership roles. And leadership roles within the body of Christ are never given to women. That's what the Bible teaches. It's always male leadership. When Eve done wrong, the Bible says there's God, there's man, and then his wife. Man has authority over his wife, and Christ has authority over all. These are how things work. When Eve sinned, yeah, who did God ask to look for first? Who? Adam. Eve still got her judgment, but God blamed Adam because he had authority over his wife, he was the leader there, and he shouldn't have allowed it to happen. So that's just how things work. So when the sisters do things wrong, if you're married, you will be judged for it, but God comes to the man first. Amen? That's a Bible way. So it says here, look, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, another different kinds of tongues, another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit, verse 11, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So there's different sorts of gifts. And this gift, to be able to prophesy, this is not the office of a prophet. It's just maybe a gift where it says the Spirit gives it as it will. So Jesus gives the ministry gifts. This gift to be able to prophesy within the church is given by the Holy Spirit. It's even given by different persons of the Trinity. And this gift is different than the ministry gift of a prophet. And it's available to brothers and sisters. God can use anyone in it, he said, because it's as the Spirit wills. So I don't possess that gift, but God can use me in that gift. And if he uses me the once, he might use me again. But it might only happen the once, or it might happen multiple times. But it's nothing to do with us, in a sense where I can't just say, I want to be able to prophesy. I want to be able to do this, I want to be able to do that, I want this gift, I want that gift. It says, look, one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing, that means giving, to each one individually as he wills. So then the Holy Spirit is giving all these spiritual gifts as he wills. And he distributes it as he desires, as he wants. So that might mean that might be usually just the once, or it could do it many times. In a roundabout way, Christians should strive for holiness, strive for righteousness. We all need to be a testimony. But I want you to understand what I'm saying here. It doesn't really depend on you, the person, in a sense that the better Christian you are, the more gifts you have. Now, that could be possible, but remember this, God spoke through a donkey once. Yeah, amen? God spoke through a donkey once. So what we think is the older someone's been saved, the longer someone's been saved, then the more gifts they will have. And that can work that way. Because obviously, look, we need to be in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and be mindful of the spiritual gifts. This is what I'm trying to say earlier on. To be mindful of these things that, Lord, and if we're willing to say, Lord, use me, I believe the Lord will use us in them things. But if it was based upon how worthy we was, God would use us in nothing, would he? Because none of us are worthy. The focus isn't the person, but the focus is the gift and what it does for the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 14 it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, which means to build someone up in their Christian walk. He speaks edification, exhortation, which means to encourage someone, to put strength into someone. And they speak comfort to men. That means to calm, the word literally means to calm someone's feelings. So the person who prophesies, that prophecy has a purpose. Within the body of Christ, and the purpose is to edify, build people up, exalt, encourage people, and to comfort people.
What scripture was that again,
Joseph? 1 Corinthians 14:3. That is the purpose of prophecy within the body of Christ. So prophecy within the church always has a purpose, and God deeply desires to speak to his children. If we're willing, God can speak through us. And I will say this, the gift of prophecy, to be able to prophesy and to bring comfort and encouragement and edify the body of Christ, let me hear you saying, that's a gift we all should seek. Amen? That is a gift we all should seek. And then it says, so he gives one, to one he gives to prophesy, to another discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. So that word discernment, does anyone know what discernment means? What? Yeah, discernment is to look upon what's being spoken or practiced. And the word was a legal word. It meant to judge something like a judge in a court. And you hear this evidence and you hear that person speak and you hear that person speak. And you have to decide who's right or wrong. That's what that word means. Discerning of spirits. Now it doesn't say discerning of people. But this is where we've mainly used this gift. It means discerning of spirits. So why discerning of spirits? Because what does the Bible say? Our battle is not against what? Flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of the earth. So what we do is something goes on, this is just a by the way, something goes on, the enemy's at work in the church, and we go, dick of the size of the enemy, and he's starting again, he is, when you big swelled everything. Right? Or she said this, or do you know she done that? And we look here. But discerning of spirits is being able to see and understand through the eyes of the spirit that's within us what's going on behind, where this is coming from, and what's right and what's wrong. So it means to look upon something or look upon what's being spoken or practiced like a judge in a court of law and decide whether it's from a godly spirit or an evil spirit. Now let's see it in for a minute. So there's things that can go on in your life, within this church, or so-called Christian places, and not all of it is from God. And how foolish we'd be to think that everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian, and everyone who says they're from God is from God. So this is what we need spiritual discernment for. Discerning of spirits. Remembering again, it says here, look, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the air. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Spirit... Let me have a drink. Now it's gone dry. Now it's gone that dry. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Because people will depart from the faith because they've listened to deceiving spirits. The whisper. Remember when the serpent came to Eve? The whisper. A deceiving spirit. And doctrines of demons. So a doctrine is something we believing that Jesus Christ is the saviour of the world. And he laid down his life for the sins of the world and rose again on the third day. That's a biblical doctrine that we believe. But there are doctrines of demons. So there's teachings floating about, all about, in churches. Could even be in our churches. What, light and life? Could be. And they are doctrines of demons. And what's behind them are deceiving spirits. It says that deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared on the hind, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So what they're saying is that people come along and teach these doctrines of demons. And then what these doctrines of demons do, they're legalistic, they restrict people. They say to people, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't. And let me tell you something, there isn't all of the things. We have to be a testimony. We're accountable to the Lord. All of us have to toe the line. When I give my life to the Lord, I become born again. I was a new creation. I can't carry on living the way I used to live. But there are doctrine of demons that restrict people in such a way. Now, I'll be as tactful but and as blunt at the same time as I can. The Catholic Church, the men, priests and nuns ain't allowed to marry no one. But they only got blessed in the children. That is a fruit of restricting something that's natural, that it turns into a perversion because it ain't of the Lord. Amen? It turns into a perversion because it's not of the Lord. And what they do, they come along with doctrines of demon and restrict people and teach things that are not of the Lord, and it brings worse of fruit. It causes corruption and rottenness. And we have to be careful of these things. So we need spiritual discernment to be able to look at what someone's saying and go, hang on a minute, I have the word. Does this match up with the word? Have you ever seen something? Like maybe you was looking on TikTok or you're looking on the internet or maybe you was watching the sky and you see a man preach or say something and you think, this man ain't right. What's that telling you that? Why are you right? This man ain't right. This man ain't right. Now, speak the truth. 90% of them you can see ain't right. You could be blind and deaf and still know them people ain't right. But sometimes it takes a spiritual discernment. And this is a gift that I wish I had in great abundance. And I wish all of us had in great abundance. Because there's so many churches out there preaching rubbish and practicing craziness. And Satan twisted the word of God in the beginning, and he's still trying to do it today. The amount of lovely, good brothers and sisters. I remember speaking to a sister once. A woman loved the Lord. She tried to serve God, but she used to watch this man. If you know his name, Ben Yin. You seen the man Ben Yin on the sky? The man with the big hair, dude, hitting everybody with his coat and bathing himself with that, not the thing like before. It's proper crankiness, mate. You can look at it and go, that man's a psychopath, you know what I mean? Thousands of people there watching him, loads of people giving him money. Do you know what I mean? And this is a sensible woman, went out every day, got a living, a real sensible woman, kept herself up together, loved the Lord. Mate, she wouldn't leave off giving the Benny. No, he's a man of the Lord, don't say mate about him. I said, he's a psychopath. He's nuts, that man is. No. And then what it is as well, for us, for somebody who knows what something's wrong, you might look at someone and go, why can't they see that? But they need spiritual discernment. They need their eyes to be open. And I tell you this, I think the Bible does say, to that to which you give yourself, to that you become a slave. You take in a little bit from them people, and take a bit more, and take a bit more, and take a bit more, till in the end, You think they're the best thing sliced bread, and no one else can convince you otherwise. I can never see the point when we have the pure word of God, and I thank God, listen, I thank God for light and life. I thank God for the men who come before us, like Jackie and Uncle Fred and Dolphy and the men years ago, all the men from years ago. And when all the craplessness was going on, they went, no, come away from that, ain't no good. And no one knew nothing. No, we don't know a lot now, but we didn't know 35 years ago, they never knew nothing. But they knew it was wrong. Amen? I remember Aunt Nelly telling me a story years ago. They used to go to a church in Dartford. Brother, people was lovely people. Lovely people, they loved the Lord, but they had this weird Toronto blessing. Anyone ever seen the Toronto blessing? Amen. Anyone know what the Toronto blessing is? Shane's done it two or three times, you know. Right? The Toronto blessing is they all start, this would trash me to death, but they all start laughing and roaring in the church, and it all goes through the church, friends without fire. And there was one I was watching, they were crowing like chickens and barking like dogs. And they was all going, this is a, yeah, like a snake bite, trash me to death, I'd just trash me to death. And they was all, and everyone was going, look at this lovely blessing. What? Get up off the floor. Get up. But let me tell you something. This is the craftiness of Satan. Oh no, these people are anointed by the Lord. This is an anointed blessing. This is a godly thing going on. There's so much rubbish going on. And I tell you what it is. It's masked with a lot of other good things. They're probably lovely brothers and sisters. They love the Lord. They fellowship. They encourage. They visit. They go witnessing. They've probably got all good things going on. They've got a drug clinic ministry and got all this. They're going to the homeless. And then they're crawling up down the floor like a snake. And they're saying it's of the Lord and it ain't. Brothers and sisters, before the Lord returns, these things are going to get worse. And we're living in the last days. And we need spiritual discernment. Even look, what's going to happen in a minute if I go, something goes wrong with me or Charles or Johnny? We want everyone to be able to say, listen, what these men are saying is wrong. You've got spiritual discernment that you could confront us and say something to us. That you'd match it up with the word. You'd make sure that it's good by the word, what we're saying. In Matthew, Jesus said, in Matthew 7, he said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Beware of false teachers and false prophets who come to you and they look cushy on the outside, but inwardly all they want to do is feed on the sheep. All they want to do is take liberties with the church. Beware of these things. All throughout the New Testament letters, Paul, John, Peter, they warn. Beware of this false teacher. Beware of this one. Paul even named them by name. Beware of this one if he comes to you because he said this and done this. Beware. And you get people to float about to this church, to that church, to that church. They get a little bit from there, a little bit from there. When they turn up, they're all confused. Because they're eating rubbish from everywhere, off of everyone's plate. They then people like the world buffets. They go and have a little bit of everything. A roast dinner, a pizza, a bit of Chinese, you know, a little bit of everything. The pure word of God. Let me tell you something. If you're in this church and we're preaching what's right, then say it. If it's true, you'd be in faith, you'd be encouraged, say in it. Spiritual discernment. If someone says they're from God and they have spiritual authority and a divine revelation. I remember once, right, short finger. Right. I remember once, dear old fellow, he was in Dartford years ago, a dear old Joe, right, me and him was just saved, and Joe was like, he knew, I didn't even know what Toronto blessing was, he knew, he was on it, right, he knew. So, all of a sudden, this old grey-haired man's walked in like Moses, this gorgeous fellow with a big beard coming with sandals on, walked in like Moses with all these people, right, Joe straight on him. He could come with me, so what's these all up to? So we're having a chat, and the man said, I've brung something wonderful here tonight. Right, God love him, you picked on the wrong two people. He said, I've brung something wonderful here tonight. Oh yeah, have you, mate, Joe? Yeah. He said, you might not have experienced before, but there's going to be a lovely blessing in the church at the end. And I can lead the service and bring it in. I can call it down. Bring it to church. Oh, yeah, can you? What's that then, mate? Well, have you heard of the Toronto Blessing? Go, get out. Get out, mate. Mate, what? Mate, get out. Take your mates with you. We don't want that here. He said, you're welcome to stay if you want. You need to repent of all that. No, we said, get out. See you later, Ewan. And churches suffer that. Turn on the sky. Go on your phone. Look on the TikTok. Look on the YouTube and see all these people falling about and laughing and giggling and screaming. Tent and barking like dogs and crowing like chickens. People come into the church and say, listen, and they didn't, if you read the Bible, people done it to Paul and said, Paul sent me here, I'm an apostle, you've all got to listen to me. People come into the church and say that they have authority and a divine revelation. We are meant to spiritually discern what these people are saying, whether it's right or wrong. But we ain't got to do it on our own mind. We ain't got to make up our own mind about it. We have the spirit, spiritual discernment, discernment of spirit. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Let me know if this is right or wrong. Does it match up with your word? Does it cause in conviction when I'm listening to it? Does it bear godly fruit? Or is it bringing me down? Is it leading me away from you? The Bible says, test all things. If someone comes in and goes, I'm a prophet, Mr. So-and-so, everyone's got to listen to me, then you weigh them up. How do they live? Do they preach the truth? What's their testimony like? They live a godly life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, he said, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So what he's saying is that these people are going to come in, they're going to be like ravenous wolves. Jesus is saying it, John's saying it, Paul said it, they're going to be like ravenous wolves, they're going to come in, they're going to be false prophets, so they're going to prophesy, it's going to look cushy. This could be the problem. It's going to sound all right, they're probably very good people, very nice people, but they're false prophets, they say things falsely. How do we test what's right and wrong? By the word and by discerning of spirits. As we see the time of Christ's return more nearer, deception is going to grow. Deception is going to grow. And I do thank God for light and life. I thank God for light and life because they preach the gospel. They love the Lord. It's a work of God amongst the travelling gypsy people. And God has definitely put the salvation of the hands of the travelling people in this country into the hands of the people within light and life. I believe that. Not to say that travelling people can't be saved anywhere else, because they can and they are being saved other places. But it's been called. God has used this mission like an engine and it's blessing. But I thank God for the men that when they see that rubbish, they don't know. I remember years ago, again I was with Joe, I was always with Joe, getting into things I shouldn't be getting into. Charles turns up, me and Joe sitting there, Joe's been saved about 4 or 5 months, I've been saved about 10 months. We're watching the sky, there's a man on the sky preaching his lungs out, right? Man was a complete psychopath at the end of it, right? But we're watching him, we're baby Christians, we're like, oh, this is good. Look at the scriptures this man knows. This man ain't even opened his Bible and he's quoted about 100 scriptures word for word. And he's preaching about this and he's preaching about that. We're looking at him on the internet. Oh, this man witnesses to Muslims. He done. This man's, the man was completely bent. The man was completely bent in here, right? We thought, this man's good. We're listening to him like that. Cushy. Charles turns up for a visit one night. But he's watching this man. Listen to this man who went. This Joe went. This man's son really knows his stuff, right? Look, he went. Yeah, tell him off, he's been his. Hold on a minute. 1 second, don't start all that. I tell you, listen to him, he said, he's a money preacher. Sure enough, within 10 seconds, the man went and look, if you're not being blessed, it's because you're not getting enough money. Mate, blew a fry out of water. Joe was all upset with him. You've ruined the man, you like the man, you've ruined it, yeah? He went, how did you know? He went, because the Spirit told me. I remember him saying that then, the Spirit told me that man's no good. But I listened to him for 3 seconds, he said, that man's no good. And he was right. And I'm not just trying to throw roses in the garden, but as mature Christians, as we all grow, we need to learn new things. Shut the door, baby. Shut the door. Baya, shut the door. We need to learn them things. We need spiritual discernment to say what is right or wrong. Because let me tell you something, it happens all the time to baby Christians. But what will us, if we're well watered and we're getting on down the line and we understand, and it's still happening to us, we're still being drawn in, we're still being led astray. 2 Corinthians says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. Did you hear that? He's saying that even Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. As God has his ministers, Satan has his ministers. And do we ever think about this? Do you ever think about people being sent into the church? You know what I mean by that? Satan sending people into the church who talk like Christians, look like Christians, they look like sheep, they sound like sheep, but they're goats. And you know what they do? Destroy churches. We've had it in this church. And we're going to have it again. Where people come in, claim to be Christians, and all they've done is ripped and teared and pulled down and destroyed people. You know how you tell a wolf? They scatter the sheep and hurt the sheep and cause fear. You might not see them. Very rarely does a farmer ever see a wolf. But they know the wolf's been around by the state the sheep's in. We'll have them in this church. We'll have them again. There is false people who go about and they look like Christians. They sound like Christians. He's saying, Paul, here, even the Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. He can make himself seem like the cushiest thing in the world. And he says, as God has his ministers, so Satan has his ministers. Brothers and sisters, test every spirit. I've come to you. God's told me to tell you something. Praise the Lord. Tell me then. Right, I'll pray about that. I'll pray about that. I'll seek the Lord about that. Before I just take it on board. Do you know what's going to happen? Especially if it's concerning an illness, or a child, or an hardship you're going through, and that person has just spoke because they haven't listened to the Lord, they're a lovely brother and sister, but they've got it wrong. Then you take it on board as though that's carved in stone, and that promise is on its way to you, and it don't happen. You know what happens to you? The Lord failed me. You failed me, Lord. No, I never said it. Because everything I say, I do. Hallelujah. Everything I say, I do. In my time, everything I say, I do. Test every spirit. It's not always easy to discern who's from God and who the enemy is using. And some people have the best intentions in the world. Some people are just out and out. They're working for the enemy and you can see what they are. And they're not bothered that you know. But some people are genuine. But they're just not praying and seeking the Lord. They haven't got discernment. And they're trying to say things to you in your life. They say good things. They look good. But they're from the enemy. Not everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. Or not everyone who calls themselves a brother or a sister is a brother or a sister. You need that discernment. So what do we need spiritual discernment for? And I've read a few things down here. For doctrine, when people bring doctrines to you, you need spiritual discernment to say, where's this coming from? We match everything up with the word. For prophecy, so when someone prophesies, we need spiritual discernment to say, yes, that's of the Lord, that's good. For people claiming authority within the church, turning up and claiming authority. For spiritual warfare, we need discerning of spirits for spiritual warfare. So we don't need to say, Lord, that's not your voice, Lord. That's the enemy's voice. Spiritual discernment will tell us the difference between the enemy's voice and our own voice. And to identify what someone is saying, whether it's from God or not. And I want to encourage you that them two gifts, I hope we move in all of them. But discerning of spirits is something I hope all of us as Christians have. Because it will save us a lot of harm and save the church. Amen? Now, I know it's been a long time, sorry. Is there any questions about things I've preached on, Bill?
Joe, you know what you said about women there?